Hey, it's me, Stuart of the Flophouse. And I'm one
bursting
of the three...
into people's ears.
Hey!
Yeah, like if Porky Pig was at the beginning of the cartoon.
More people would watch Looney Tunes.
Looney Tunes? That's what it is.
Cool. That's why they got canceled. Looney Tunes got canceled because not enough people were watching.
No, Porky in the front. Okay, so...
Porky in the front, party in the back.
Gross, dude. I was trying to keep a clean podcast for a change. So I'm one of the three hosts of the Flophouse podcast. Joined with me are my two co-hosts who will introduce themselves now.
I'm Dan McCoy.
I'm Elliot Kalin. That's right, himself, that guy from the Flophouse. How'd they get me? I'm always here. Thanks.
Now tonight we're...
Now, Stuart, have you said your name?
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because I don't think you have.
I think I said I was Stuart from the Flophouse, Stuart Wellington.
Yeah, but you did change your last name to From the Flophouse.
Stuart from the Flophouse. Yeah, legally. So we're a podcast about bad movies normally, but you're tuning into one of our mini episodes, which we're recording tonight, and we are not going to be doing what we normally do, which is watching a bad movie, then reviewing it. No. We are doing something special because as you guys, I'm sure, have been checking your calendars, it is the 9-month anniversary of the now classic Flophouse mini. So we are doing the next episode. That's right. Tonight we are doing Two Boy Talking Tube to Two Dudes. Tonight, that's right.
I was thinking about this the other day for random reasons and could not remember the full title. I could not bring it into my mind. So can you say it again?
Yeah, it's Two Boy Talking Tube to Two Dudes. Tonight, that's right. Because let's just break this down.
It's the that's right that I always forget.
Let's break this down. Two boy, that's me, Stuart Wellington. The two dudes.
Flophouse.
Yep, is Dan and Elliot from the Flophouse. Talking tube means we're going to be talking boob tube. We're not talking movies. We're talking about the small screen. That's right. Things you can watch on your phone. And then we're going to be doing it tonight. And it's all right because we're going to be doing it and you can't stop us. Unless you turn off the podcast, which would make me very bummed.
Yeah, there's a pretty easy way to stop us. You can do it with
Don't say that, Dan. They're going to literally turn a button.
That is a stop button. Yeah.
Now, Stuart, I'm sorry. I wasn't paying attention before.
Oh,
what,
it's Two Boy Anniversary? Talking to Two Dudes tonight. That's right.
Which anniversary are we at?
9 months. 9 months.
So for anyone who conceived on the night that we first did this, now the baby is here. Congratulations.
Take it to the hospital.
Quite possible. It was an exciting night.
Congratulations. It's an overlong title.
Okay, so we're talking TV, guys. We're not talking movies. So, of course, the first thing that everybody wants to talk about, that's right, the Emmys. The Emmys were a thing that happened recently. Awards were given out to different shows.
Recently, I mean, it's recently in terms of a few weeks. I mean, it's not recent in that it's
geologic
like...
scale.
Yeah, that's true. I guess, good point. You pulled that one on me last time.
On the geologic scale, it hasn't even happened yet. Yes.
So let's just start this off. I'm going to start with Outstanding Comedy Series. The winner was Ted Lasso. What do you think, Dan?
Well, I didn't follow the Emmys at all this year.
Okay, well, now it's your chance.
I have no idea.
We're just rapping. You don't have to
I'm just saying I don't know what else was nominated, so I cannot...
I got it right here, Dan.
Okay,
It was up against Blackish, Cobra Kai,
sure,
Emily and Perry, The Flight Attendant, Hacks, The Kominsky Method, which I swear is not a real show.
Yeah, okay.
There's nothing you can say to convince me that this is an actual show that I can watch. And Pen 15.
Okay, well, with the caveat that I have not seen Pen 15, which I understand is very good, I would say that of that crop, it certainly deserved it. The only way I was going to say it didn't is that it is of that kind of comedy that is often more gently amusing than laugh out loud funny. Like, I enjoy being with the characters more than I have a hearty belly laugh.
And this is based entirely on not having watched it, but impressions you've had from people talking about it?
No, I'm talking about Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso. Yeah. You have watched
it. I have watched that show. I'm saying the only reason I wouldn't have possibly said that it was the best of that motley crew is maybe if you were arguing that it wasn't enough of a comedy.
Now, if it was Motley Crue, which member of the band would Ted Lasso
That's be? Actually a really good... That's, I was going to say that for a later segment, but right now. Yeah, is it Nikki Six, Dan, or is it...
Yeah, it is. Since that's the only member of Motley Crue, I would have been able
or
to...
Or would it be Tommy Lee? Because they have the same initials. Tommy Lee, wow. Ted Lasso, same initials.
Oh, there you go.
Wow.
Crack the code, the Bible code.
Ellie, do you have any opinions on this?
To be honest, I haven't seen most of those shows. I still haven't seen Ted Lasso. My boss's husband works for that show, so I can't, even if I had seen it, I wouldn't say anything negative about it.
Oh, okay.
But I haven't seen it yet. But I will say, Dan, that gentle comedy that is not laugh out loud funny, but is kind of pleasant, is kind of where, it seems to be kind of where comedy is right now in a lot of ways, after Schitt's Creek, which is a fine show that I enjoy, swept last year, but it's not a show where I watch it and I'm like, I cannot wait to have my sides split open from laughter. It's a show where I'm like, this is going to be fun. This is going to be fun.
I mean, I know what you're saying, but like, I think that the actors were so talented in creating those specific characters that I would laugh heartily at a lot of it, even if, maybe joke writing wasn't that show's strongest suit.
I mean, that show's a really well-written show. It's a really well-performed show. I love everybody on it. I think it's just not what they're not going for a show that is like 30 Rock, where it's like hitting you over the head with punchlines constantly, you know, literally punching you in the face with jokes. And I said literally, constantly. Because it's not a metaphor. The Tina Fey's hand reaches out of the screen and punches you with a joke every time. I haven't seen Ted Lasso yet.
Sort of a Videodrome thing.
Yeah. Oh, that's what happened in Videodrome. Was there James Woods was like, I can't take all these jokes. The new flesh is too funny.
Obviously the problem is that the best comedy show, What We Do in the Shadows, was not even nominated, which is a bummer.
It was not eligible that year.
It wasn't?
Yeah, because of its broadcast.
Too many vampires? Oh, okay.
Yeah, they passed a vampire rule because of its broadcast schedule.
Too many vampires. Like, oh, none of those vampires are going to show up on when we film them for the Emmys.
Jesse Thorne came in and made sure that no Draculas were allowed.
There were two issues. One was, if they win, you're just going to see an empty stage because the Draculas are not, and then an award trophy that floats in the air because they don't show up on film or video, but also because you don't want that many vampires loose in amongst Hollywood's brightest stars. They're just going to go crazy with the eating and the blood sucking. And then
the only Hollywood vampires I want is a celebrity rock and roll band featuring Johnny Depp and a couple other turds.
I mean, counterpoint, Elliot, if you have a bunch of vampires.
What if the band was called Johnny Depp and a couple other turds?
I would assume they're all vampires and just trying to throw me off the scent by talking about turds.
Come on in. There's no vampires here, just a bunch of harmless turds.
Now, counterpoint, Elliot, to what you're saying, if it's a celebration of Hollywood's best and brightest, maybe unleashing vampires would just ensure that those people would stay young and vital forever.
It's certainly easier than having to CGI digital ghost versions of them forever and ever.
I guess that's true. I mean, the question is, are the vampires going to bite them and make them part of their flock, or are they going to tear them apart in an orgy of bloodlust? You know,
kind of vamps are we talking?
Exactly. That's too big. It's too big a question mark for a professional award ceremony.
Guys, we got to move on. We've only scratched the surface of this.
But I thought this was two guys talking teeth tonight, vampires specifically. Uh-huh. All right, tonight. That's
right. We'll be talking vamps later. Don't worry.
Okay.
After show talking vamps.
next is outstanding drama series. Winner is The Crown.
And of course, the television adaptation of Larry Crown starring Tom Hanks. Haven't seen the movie, haven't seen the show, don't know how accurate it is.
Yeah, again, this is one where I've not seen any of The Crown, so
I will say
this
show richly deserved the award for outstanding show that my wife falls asleep to while I do the dishes in the other room.
Yeah, that sounds good. So it was up against The Boys, Bridgerton, The Handmaid's Tale, Lovecraft Country, The Mandalorian, Pose. This is Us.
Seeing as of those shows, I only have seen all of the second season of The Boys And yeah, I don't know. I like The Mandalorian. I saw a couple episodes of, but not this new season.
Yeah, I've only seen a couple episodes of The Mandalorian. I've seen all of the first season of Pose, but I only just started the second season, which is the one this award would be for.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't. Sticks out to me the most is This Is Us being on there, because there's like, yeah. Is that the only network show on the list?
I think it. Yes. I guess FX doesn't count as a network show.
I would call. Well, I mean, cable. I mean, non-cable, non-streaming. Yeah.
The Boys was a fine show to fold my laundry to. I don't think I would nominate it for.
Well, it did win.
I certainly think the second season is an improvement over the first season.
It won outstanding drama at the Foldies.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. Is that just other forms of entertainment that you fold things during?
Yeah. I mean, there's television, film, music, someone reading a newspaper article or magazine article to you.
Sounds
weird,
like
no podcast category. Very strange. A real weird oversight for the Foldies.
Yeah, you would think. So it sounds like we have some really firm opinions on this category. Let's just jump ahead to Outstanding Limited series.
How little television we seem to be watching in our regular lives. But is limited series or minimal series?
Yep. The winner is The Queen's Gambit.
Mm.
Other shows in the category, other nominees: I May Destroy You, Mayor O' Easttown, The Underground Railroad, WandaVision.
Uh-huh.
I mean, Queen's Gambit and WandaVision are the only ones of those series where I've seen all of both of them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But I saw a little bit of Underground Railroad, and I thought that was good, too. And I saw a little bit of...
I May Destroy You is great. Super intense.
Well, it's the thing. We watch the first episode. Every time we're about to watch the second episode, we're like, do we really have it? We're tired. Do we really have it in us to watch this show right now?
This is so weird to realize that in previous days when there was no pandemic, I would have seen, I think, more of the things that were big than now. Like, I just haven't found myself watching television the same way. I don't know. Like, I saw all of WandaVision, and then we watched The Queen's Gambit, like, I don't know, about half of it, and neither of us seemed to be, like, quite excited enough to push through the end.
Oh, I really like The Queen's Gambit. I found the very ending of it to be kind of anticlimactic, but I like The Queen's Gambit.
I certainly like the outfits and the hotel rooms.
Yeah, the production design looked, and so much of that, I'm sure, was also, like, mixing real sets with CGI recreation, you know, of the time period,
Todd Vaziri to weigh in on that one.
The production design was beautiful. The clothes were beautiful. I love Anya Taylor-Joy in basically everything I've seen her in. I thought the supporting cast was great.
You've never mentioned that before, Dan.
But have I?
I remember you did start the hashtag Not My Princess Peach trending on Twitter. So that seems to go against what you're saying.
But, like, can't she be normal now?
But I also got this feeling from that show that it's like a deeply silly show that was trying to pretend it was important.
Oh, I don't know about that. I think it was a show that was, I think, maybe attempting to hide how melodramatic it was at times. Mm-hmm. But it's funny that it and WandaVision were both nominated, because WandaVision is a superhero show and The Queen's Gambit is a chess drama that kind of takes the form of a superhero show in a way, her superpower is chess. And there's something funny about and she builds her kind of like team of her support team of side heroes and stuff like that. But I don't know. I haven't seen most of the other ones. I watched the first episode of Mayor of Easttown and I was like, I don't think I'm into murder shows these days.
Yeah. I don't want to be taking the wrong.
But the accents, dude, and Guy Pearce with long hair.
That if it was just called Guy Pearce with long hair, and it was just him going around doing stuff, taking his shirt off, putting it back on, I'd watch that show every episode. Yeah,
I did the thing that I do a lot, and when I was watching, not to be too much of a spoiler, but there is a romantic relationship between Guy Pearce and Kate Winslet. So I was like, how old are they really? And obviously, Guy Pearce is a little bit older, but he also plays his age in this show, which is kind of interesting. But the weird thing is, both of them
as opposed to Prometheus, where he played a man who was 70 years older than him.
That's a beautiful swing, and some might say it's a miss. I would not. I think there was a swing and a hit. It was the best choice of that movie to make. That the majority of screen time that Guy Pearce had in Prometheus, he was caked in old age makeup.
Caked in what appeared to be layers of Elmer's glue that had been allowed to dry one at a time on it. But you were saying, so he's playing his age.
But what but the interesting thing is both he and Kate Winslet have the exact same birthday. Isn't that fun? Isn't that a fun fact?
You know that every day when they walked on set, they went, birthday pals, they pointed at each other, and they go, hey, birthday twin, how are you doing? I'm good, birthday twin.
I want to jump way back only for fear of being misunderstood and having angry Queen's Gambit heads coming at me. I don't...
Gambos, I hope that they happens. Call themselves? Yeah. No, they call themselves Gambos, which is bad because Michael Gambon's fans also call themselves Gambos. So it's hard, you know?
I just want to make clear that, like, I actually really enjoy sort of the melodrama of it all. My problem was more that I felt like it took some silly, like, shortcuts in the storytelling. But I like how, like, it's a handsomely mounted, you know, melodrama, which is a thing we don't get enough of.
That's true. I think so. Dan's safe. He's on base. You cannot be mad at him.
Yeah, cancel him. Uncancel him. Yeah.
So that's going to wrap up our Emmy segment. We have one more segment. Not one more. We have a couple more. The next segment, of course, is called What Are We Watching? This is the segment where we talk about shows that we're watching. Lately, I'll go first. I mentioned What We Do in the Shadows. New season. It's great. I love that show. Can't get enough.
Great
Give
season.
Me more.
Great
vamp,
show.
Vamp, vamps. I was talking to Elliot about this, but when I work out, I gotta have something on in the background. I gotta watch something when I work out. Lately, I've been watching those Peaky Bees, you know, the Peaky Blinders, starring Cillian Murphy, beautiful short king. I love that guy. Don't know if I buy him as like a scary mobster guy, but whatever, he's cool and he's gorgeous.
He's the scarecrow, Stuart. How could you not? Come on, what's not scary about him?
I have trouble buying him as like a war hero, tough guy when he's like 5'7" and a gorgeous angel of a man with a beautiful voice. Like, I feel like he'd be walking around the streets of Birmingham and people would be like, who is this? Who's this beautiful ghost? But I love those haircuts and I love that it's a lot of slow motion guys walking around in 3-piece suits. Like, oh man, can't get enough of that shit. And they have this house band that's really great. Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. He does the theme song. Dan, you know what I'm talking about. You're a Peaky Bee head, right? Guess not. And then of course I've been watching.
The fans call themselves Peaky Beekeepers.
That would make sense. It's all about headgear. And the other thing I've been watching, of course, I'm almost done with Mike Flanagan's Midnight Mass, another Mike Flanagan horror series. Spoiler, there's vampires in it. I like it a lot, but it's like a lot of Mike Flanagan stuff where it's like, this would be great if it had about 50% monologues. I don't know did you guys watch Hill House or Blythe Manor?
I started watching Hill House, and I just didn't quite get into it. It just wasn't. It was a little too super serious for me, I think.
Yeah, I feel like every time there's action, it gets interrupted with like two characters telling some long monologue about some shit, and it's like I get it, I understand that it feels a little self-serious, and it's to me it hurts the pacing, but whatever. And also, I feel like it's padding.
Paddington?
It's Paddington.
Midnight Mass is probably the main thing that I have watched lately. And I don't know. I didn't have the same problem. I mean, I will say that I see that it is there. I see that the show is almost entirely made up of people monologuing to one another.
Yes.
But it's not a thing that bothers me, because I think that by and large they're interesting, well-written, well-performed monologues, and so I just sort of accept it as the style, especially because it's about, you know, like religion, so it just feels like people trading sermons of different kinds.
Well, yeah, and it like the theme of personal faith and that sort of thing. Yeah. I think that stuff's all cool. I just wish it moved at a little better clip in regards to that stuff.
I haven't seen it. I know Dan loves monologues though. Usually with late night shows, he watches the first 10 minutes, then just turns them off.
Same thing with Marin. And the other thing with Midnight Mass, of course, I love that we got mega hunk Rahul Kohli in it, and this time he's doing an American accent, and he's doing a pretty good job. Okay. Elliot, what have you been watching lately?
I haven't been watching a lot. The problem is I work in television, but I like to watch movies kind of more than television. So if I have a chance, I'm going to watch a movie more often. But let's see. Like I mentioned earlier, we've been watching Pose. We just started the second season. That's a show I liked the first season of a lot.
Uh-huh.
It's a very Ryan Murphy show in that it is everything about it is on the nose. There's nothing subtle about it whatsoever. And anytime you're like, oh, that's an interesting metaphor, a character just comes out and says it right afterwards. Yep. But I'm still
Have you watched any? Have you seen any of Impeachment?
No, I haven't yet. I'm curious about it, but I haven't seen it yet.
It's every opportunity to put makeup effects on a character. They take it. And it's wild that they managed to make Clive Owen have less charisma than Bill Clinton. Which, Bill Clinton has a lot of charisma, but Clive Owen, with under a giant nose and whatnot, just can't keep up.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what I started. I watched the first half of the first episode of Squid Game.
Sweeping the nation.
It's sweeping the nation, and I will say that one of the things that I like about Korean movies. I've watched a lot of Korean movies, and so one of the things I like about it is that the characters will just suddenly yell at each other. And you don't expect it. Like characters in Korean movies are always on the verge of just hollering at each other out of nowhere.
Yes.
And I really like that. And I mentioned this to some coworkers of mine who are of Korean descent, and they were like, yeah, that's how it is. I haven't seen too much. I feel like I'm stuck in this cycle where the writer's room that I'm working in right now, everyone seems to watch the hot shows right away. And I haven't seen them yet. And then by the time I watch them, everybody's on to a different show, which seems to be the way television works now, is you kind of like gobble it up really fast and then forget about it. Like until WandaVision, I think, until you mentioned that it was nominated, I kind of forgot that I'd seen that this year, you know.
I mean, I feel like a lot of media, at least the way I feel a lot of folks consume, and myself included, consume media. It's with me, it's a lot of like with music. I every year I'm like, man, I haven't listened to that much music this year. And then I go through my Bandcamp thing and I'm like, holy shit, I bought like 100 albums.
we seem to be at a point in the cycle now where even if the media itself is not disposable content wise, it is used disposably. Like we're kind of like speeding through stuff. But I wonder if that's probably a side effect of feeling like there's so much out there that we like don't have time to waste sitting on it, you know? I wonder.
Or just the feeling like, I just have too many hours in the day, too much time to exist on this planet, that unlike some people are concerned that the time is passing too quickly and we're getting old so quickly. I don't think that's the case. I think we all have plenty of time to just chill out and watch a bunch of shit.
I can't tell how sarcastic you're being. It feels semi-sarcastic, but it's certainly not true for me.
I
didn't get to have lunch today because I was too busy, so that's where my TV watching is at,
Elliot, you gotta switch to doing like protein shakes, maybe a salad. You gotta do something. You gotta
The problem is that I have duck confit every day and I gotta get it done right. So if I don't have the time to make it
takes
work,
forever.
I'm just not gonna do it, but that's because that's my lunch
slow
of choice. It's delicious,
fat. Oh no.
Yeah, you like what you like. So interestingly enough, the Flophouse, including this episode, is sponsored in part by our sponsor, who is explained about in a second by Dan.
Is explained about it? Yeah, sure. That's one way we could have done it.
Yeah. Thank you, our sponsor. Dan, why don't you lift the curtain and reveal who the sponsor is this week?
This week's secret sponsor is Squarespace.
What?
Yeah, that's right. So if you had Squarespace on your cards that we sent out in this Sunday circular.
The Sunday circular secret sponsor sweepstakes, Squarespace.
Just mail that in, and maybe you too could check out Squarespace. Because with Squarespace, you can turn your cool idea into a new website. You can blog or publish content. You can sell products and services of all kinds and much, much more. Squarespace does this by giving you beautiful, customizable templates created by world-class designers, everything optimized for mobile right out of the box, a new way to buy domains and choose from over 200 extensions, and free and secure hosting. So why don't you go to squarespace.com/flop for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code FLOP to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Perfect. You nailed it.
So, do that. Good job, Dan. Great tee up, Stuart, and great. You knocked it out of the park, Dan. Mm-hmm. And I did a great job telling you. You're both great.
Yeah, you're great cheerleading, Elliot.
I'm Lisa Hannawalt.
And I'm Emily Heller.
9 years ago, we started a podcast to try and learn something new every episode.
Things have gone a little off the rails since then. Tune in to hear about
low-stakes neighborhood drama,
gardening,
the sordid, nasty underbelly of the horse girl lifestyle,
hot sauce,
addiction to TV and sweaty takes on celebrity culture,
and the weirdest, grossest stuff you can find on Wikipedia.org.
We'll read all of it, no matter how gross. There's something for everyone on our podcast, Baby Geniuses,
hosted by us, two horny adult idiots.
Hang out with us as we try and fail to retain any knowledge at all.
Every other week on Maximum Fun. Baby Geniuses, tell us
something we don't know. A man goes to the doctor and says that he's depressed and that life seems cruel. The doctor says, "Ah, the treatment is simple. The great clown Pagliacci is in town tonight. Go and see him and you will surely feel better." The man bursts into tears and says, "But doctor, I am Pagliacci." "Ah, okay," says the doctor. "In which case, try listening to the Beef and Dairy Network podcast." The Beef and Dairy Network podcast is a multi-award-winning comedy podcast, and you can find it at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, so we got two more segments, and we'll try and make these a little bit quick because I know you guys were really into the "What are you watching?" segment. So today, tonight, we're gonna do a little segment I like to call "Bingeable" or "Cringeable."
I love it. I was hoping it was gonna rhyme. So you guys, let me down.
Yeah, it would be disappointing if the title was "Bingeable" or "Not Bingeable." That would have been disappointing. Bingeable or fungible. Almost rhymes.
Or spingeable. I'm sorry I couldn't come up with a word.
So, in this segment, I'm going to list the name of a popular television program, and you are going to have to tell me whether you consider it to be bingeable or cringeable. Mm. First show. The Great British Baking Show, or Bake Off, depending on where you watch it. Bingeable or cringeable, guys?
To me, this is highly bingeable. I love this show. I watched much of it when it first came to Netflix, but I've fallen off because it was very confusing in the early days which series were which.
You were like, Netflix, what are they doing? I don't understand. Too much continuity.
Netflix only bought like seasons later on. So then I wanted to see the earlier ones, but the early ones were like different, like format, not as good. So I understand why Netflix started where they are. And then now they've got new hosts, so I fell off. But good show. Bingeable.
Yeah, certainly really? Bingeable. It's like, you know, I feel the same way about it that I do about like HGTV shows where I'm like, put it on, let it keep running, do something else while it's up there, check in every now and then. Oh, that's charming. Well, off we go. Ooh, that marzipan didn't work out. Okay, well, I'll check back in a few
minutes. That cookie's got a break.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what Christopher Walken yells with his psychic powers.
The cookie's gonna break.
The cookie's gonna break.
The cookie is gonna break. Okay,
it's a Dead Zone reference for everyone at home. Dead Zone. Also, the great British Baking Zone is what I guess what you would call it.
Dead Zone. I think they made a TV show out of that too, right?
They did. I think it was Anthony Michael Hall who was playing Christopher Walken.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow, cool. Similar styles.
He played a sports columnist, a D-Zone. The D Zones are dead.
Oh, okay.
That guy just can't get away from weird science. You know what I mean?
You know? I mean, he can. He's done lots of other things.
He just runs into other science that's weird.
Weird science experiments, yeah. Okay, so the next show, guys, next television program, this one's on hot out of the ovens over at HBO Max. That's right. F-Boy Island. The F stands for fuck. F-Boy Island. Bingeable or cringeable? Dan McCoy, what do you think?
I'm sure I could find it in my heart to binge it, but it's not typically my kind of reality show.
We got a cringe it from Dan.
Cringeable.
Elliot.
I'm torn because I don't, it's not my kind of show, but like I'm friends of the friends of the host. So like, you know, it's,
yeah, that's true. Sarah and Nikki.
Yeah. I mean, her old co-host, Sarah Schaefer is a friend of mine and also neighbor of mine. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's not like Sarah's hosting the show. So you know what? I'm going to say it's dirigible. It's floating above me. I just can't reach it. Don't know how to get to it.
Okay. Next program. We got another one of these reality shows. That's right. Wipeout.
What is that? What happens?
Is that the one where they knock people into pools?
Yes.
Like just solely pools, or do they knock people into other things?
Well, they knock them from a great height.
Yeah. Well, like, not that great a height.
I mean, the height's not that great. Let's not give it too much credit.
It's not like Alexander.
Like, is it just not people getting knocked into pools, or is there
no? They gotta like stuff. They do a thing, and if they don't do it, they fall in a pool. Or I haven't seen it. I don't know.
Do they get like knocked into like one of those grocery store arrangements of cans instead of a pool? Maybe.
Doesn't sound like you guys can come to a consensus as to whether or not it's bingeable or cringeable. So we're just going to move on.
Yeah.
Frasier.
Now you're
Dan,
talking
is
about
Frasier bingeable or cringeable? That's
being
right.
Rediscovered the story by of, today's youth.
The story I feel like of an every... old podcaster, his weird brother, and his cool dad.
I feel like every 6 years, a new generation discovers Frasier for some reason. There was, I don't think I've told this story before, but I was working on a show. The last show I worked on before I moved to LA was this kids show on Netflix called The Who Was Show. And the writer's assistant on that show was a man in his mid-20s, and he had just discovered Frasier, and he would watch it and then come in the next day wanting to talk about the episode he watched. And I'd be like, sorry, dude, I watched it 15 years ago. Yeah, I don't remember. Yeah.
There's like a Twitter account that just posts screenshots of Frasier staring outside of his apartment window and replacing the backdrop with scenes from video games. It's very entertaining.
I mean, I remember liking it at the time very much. I mean, I'm sure like any old sitcom, there are parts of it that have not weathered the age as well, but I'm sure it's bingeable. I worry that too much Frasier talk on this podcast is going to infringe on the McElroys' copyright on discussing Frasier on a next podcast.
Did they copyright that? Is that a...
Yeah.
Okay, I guess we'll... Okay, everybody just hit stop on this podcast and drag it and drop it in the garbage.
Yeah, just throw it in the Frasier can. Okay, I'm gonna say bingeable. Well-written show. David Hyde Pierce is amazing. I saw him in the Broadway show Curtains, and he was delightful. So, yeah, I'm going to go with that. So,
it's not a Flophouse episode unless Elliot drops some bullshit on us.
The late John Mahoney I also saw in a show at the Paper Mill Playhouse in New Jersey. He was also great. So that's – and you know what? I saw Jane Leaves in a show of Monty Python material at the was the Town Hall Theater in New York. So I've seen most of the cast of that show on stage. Well, so
gotta,
yeah, go binge it.
You got to catch them all though, Elliot.
I know. I haven't seen Kelsey. I haven't seen the Kels.
Yeah, you haven't gone to one of his upstate New York grocery store appearances where he sells his Freedom beer or whatever the fuck he's doing
right now?
No, I haven't
done that. Yeah, I kind of wish I'd caught him earlier in his political career. The Book of Kels is not one that I really want to read right now, yeah.
Okay, so one more.
That's some bad grammar, let me tell you.
Oh, fuck.
But still, separate the art from the artist. Go ahead and watch Frasier. Sure.
Sorry, I'm just reeling the Book of Kels. That almost you almost flew that one under the radar. But
I'm saying that was just for the Celtic fans in the audience. Yeah, All right.
Yeah. Last program, bingeable or cringeable? Columbo.
Oh, very bingeable. We've been watching some of it, actually, in lockdown.
It's super bingeable, but I have to say, and this is going to sound like I'm biting the hand that feeds it, because people send me a lot of Columbo material on Twitter, and I'm very happy about it. Uh-huh. But I feel like at this point, Columbo is reaching that level where it's so beloved that I start feeling a knee-jerk reaction to not like it anymore, which is all inside of me, which is bad, because it is a great show, and I love Peter Falk in it, obviously. And all the guest stars. It's a snapshot of Hollywood at the time. But I guess I'm looking for the I'm the kind of guy who's like, what's the Columbo type show that only I know about and nobody else is telling me about it? That's the kind of jerk I am.
Kolchak the Night Stalker.
No, I don't want to watch Kolchak. It's never as good as I want it to be. It's too scary. I can't sleep at night when I watch Cold Check.
Yeah, I don't want to get scared.
Oh, Darren McGavin, look out for that mummy.
No, I'm just, yeah, I'm always, I have my blanket over my head because I don't want Darren McGavin to come into my room at night and scare me.
So that was bingeable or cringeable. Let's move on to the final segment of the night. That's right. We are doing Dinner and a Show, brought to you by Hulu. So,
I mean, we have a sponsor, Squarespace, but please patronize them. They're paying us. Hulu is not paying us, you know.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to
list. Have you guys tried that new Hulu Hoop? It's a toy for kids that has like one show you're really into, and then that show drops off the service, and you're about to cancel it, and then another show you like comes on.
Wow, interesting.
So okay. I'm going to list the name of a Hulu original program, and you're going to tell me when you're settling in for the night to watch this program, and what meal you would either order or make to go along with that show.
Okay. Yeah,
I know. I know. Elliot. Elliot is quite a gourmand, and Dan loves to make some bread and whatnot. So hopefully, we'll get some exciting answers here.
I've had Dan's whatnot. It's delicious. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, the first program is Deadbeat. You don't remember it? There were 3 seasons, 36 episodes.
What?
Something with Deadbeat. Beets. Something with beets in it, like a beet salad, maybe. Mm-hmm.
It's a super American supernatural comedy series.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I remember that one. That's the one. Is that the one where they had the ads all over New York where there's kind of like a sad guy with a beard holding a balloon that looked like a ghost?
Yes, I think that's correct.
Okay, yeah. I never saw the show, but I remember the ads for it. Yeah, something with beets.
Oh, okay.
Because also the beet juice looks like blood, so it's horror-y.
You got anything to add here, Dan?
Just make sure those beets are dead before you eat them.
Oh, yeah. You don't want them grabbing onto the inside of your throat as they go down, trying to kill you before you can kill them. Sure.
That was an outtake from the movie Old Boy, where they went to a restaurant that serves live beets. So the next one is Devs.
Oh, that's the show where I refused to watch it because I couldn't figure out what it was about ahead of time.
It's about developers, I assume.
Is that with Nick Offerman, right?
Written and directed by Alex Garland. Science fiction thriller. Right. Nick Offerman is in it.
Yeah.
Right, the Alex Garland thing.
That was back when I was going through a phase when I wanted to know a little bit about the show before I started watching them, and I couldn't find anything about what Devs was about. So I would probably, I'd probably just stir fried chicken. Yeah, it's the best.
And I guess if it's an Alex Garland show, I would serve like a single grape inside an ice cube.
Oh. Because
it would be sort of cold and austere and mysterious.
Yeah. Little high concept. I like this. Okay.
I'm still going to go with fried chicken.
Yeah.
We're moving a little bit closer to more modern, so maybe you guys have a better chance of having seen these.
Yeah, these old shows like Devs, which is, 3 years old? Come on, forget about it.
Uh-huh. So we are... How about the Hulu original Doll Face?
Doll Face. Now, does this have anything to do with Doll Man versus demonic toys?
It unfortunately does
just
not.
His face.
I knew you were going to ask
just his face.
Just the face of Doll Man, yeah.
I haven't seen it. I'm going to go fried chicken, I think. Yeah, I think I'm going to say fried chicken
okay,
for this one.
Okay, that's a surprise, but
I'm going to have some soup.
Okay. What just kind of soup, Dan? You're a maker of soups. What's a go-to soup for Dan McCoy?
You know what's good? You get a Tuscan bean soup. You put some sausage in there, some white beans, kale. Maybe throw a hunk of Parmesan in.
What?
Just throw it right in there.
Chuck it in.
I imagine you're sitting down with Audrey for dinner, and you go, "Hey, do you want a hunk in your soup?" And you hold up the Parmesan, but then you dip your own hand in.
Oh, fuck. Did you do that for real? Dan, did you do that?
And she says, please pour me a new bowl of soup.
Did you do that for real?
Your hand was
There's
in
nothing
one.
In the rule book that says I can't.
I can't believe you did that. For real? Okay. That's crazy. For real? Okay. So we got one last one. This is ripped from the headlines. One last one. Why the Last Man?
Now, what headline is that ripped from?
The headline of new show on Hulu.
The headline of Why the Last Man adapted for television.
Finally adapted.
They finally made it. They did it. This version doesn't have, who are they going to have in it for, at one point? Deuce Bigelow? What's his name?
Rob Schneider?
Rob Schneider supposed to, he was like,
I don't believe that was ever the case.
What?
Some sort of comedy version of this at one point?
Really? That would be a very different story. Let me look it up. Maybe he was going to play the monkey. I don't know.
Did you guys read the comic book? It's based on a comic book.
I read the whole comic book. I have not yet seen the show.
Okay. I only read the first trade and did not like it.
I like that series.
You know what? I'm
a fucking curmudgeon when it comes to that shit.
That's true. You are a curmudgeon.
So, I think I'm confusing a few things. I think that there was a movie that had basically the same premise that was a comedy version.
Are you thinking of the hot chick, Dan?
Attached to.
Are you thinking of Deuce Bigelow, Last Man on Earth?
And then, I don't know. I know that there was some weird version of it that it's, you know.
I mean, they've been working on it for years, so that makes sense. But it's finally here, and you know what? Nothing goes better with dystopia than big plate of fried chicken. Let's go for it.
Okay, a big plate of fried chicken. Okay, so Elliot is doing fried chicken. Dan, what are you going to bring to this meal?
We're going to have a Swanson Hungry Why the Last Man dinner.
Okay. What's the feature there? Is it meatloaf? Is it a...
Fried chicken.
Fried chicken. Okay. Fried chicken across the board. Okay, guys.
That's what I would want if I was the last man. Sure.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that segment went, I feel like that was the strongest segment. I'm glad I saved it for the very end. This has been another
Stu,
rousing.
If any of the segments weren't strong, it was only contestant error. It was not at all matter of the 100%. Operator of the games or the show. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean the careful mousetrap that I've created with this episode. So
who knew when you asked two professional television writers about what they thought about current shows, they would not know any of them pretty much.
They'd be like, is
that TV? What is that?
Is Aftermath still on the air?
yeah. And if you were to ask me, I'd be like, do cutscenes in video games count as shows?
Yeah, why no Emmys for Mass Effect? What's going on?
I mean, if it's Andromeda, I get it. So this has been two boy talking tube to two dudes tonight. That's right. Which is a part of the Flophouse podcast. The Flophouse is on the Maximum Fun Network, and I don't know. I think we're still part of the Maximum Fun Block Party, which is a great time, obviously, to pick up a new show. If you're a new listener, I'm sorry. I don't know why you're still listening. Maybe you are folding laundry and just forgot to hit stop.
Forgot. There was something I was going to do relating to sound.
Let me check my to-do list. Laundry, I did that. Okay. Post office.
Yeah, somebody's folding laundry.
Throw podcast away in anger. That's the thing I forgot.
That's what I haven't done yet.
Well, and they're like, okay, like, I don't like this show, but it's, they said it's a mini. It's going to be wrapping up soon. 40 minutes?
It's probably no more than 10 minutes long at the most to earn the name mini.
So we're on the Maximum Fun Network. There's a ton of really great shows. If you like this for some reason, there's probably much better shows for you to listen to. Thank you to our producer, Alex.
At a certain
point,
I think we might be doing ourselves a disservice by underselling so much.
It's this false humility that I like to adopt, you know, normally.
Yeah, that's true.
When
I didn't know you were adopting.
When the microphones...
Chico Marx, everybody.
when the microphones are off, I am prone to fits of grandiose hubris where I run around my apartment in this bathrobe.
As soon as the recording is over,
money around.
He still just goes, nailed it, best ever. And he throws a big after party in a warehouse somewhere, like after every taping of SNL.
Yep, that's me. Oh, wow. Thank you to Alex Smith for making this episode sound great, and like all the episodes. I've been Stuart Wellington for the Flophouse.
I've been Dan McCoy for the Flophouse.
I've been Ellie Kalin from the Flophouse.
Bye.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.